All say amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that I make it to the other side.
Amen.
And so I'm going to follow some instructions that I heard this morning. I am going to keep looking into the perfect law of liberty. And I'm going to continue to live for Jesus, whether or not you decide to go with me. And I'm going to make sure as I look into that perfect law of liberty that I don't forget some things. Mm-hmm. One thing I don't want to forget is who saved me from my sin. Right. And I'm so thankful that he looked down the cord of time and saw a need to send his son to redeem me back to his father. And church, I don't know about you, when I stop and I think about how God has bestowed upon me his grace, mm-hmm. his mercy, his kindness. Boy, when I stop and think about that, man, that's a true blessing.
Amen.
To know that the God of heaven, in the midst of everything that goes on in your life, are you able to thank him regardless of circumstances and situations?
Wow. Amen.
And you know, when I stop and I think about old Job and all of the tragedy that he went through, God said something about him that I tried to duplicate. I fall short just like anybody else. But God had a conversation with Satan. And he asked Satan, where have you been? Satan said, walking to and fro upon the earth. I've been with your people.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been with your people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how your people are. Satan telling God about his people. Mm-hmm. They'll love you today and they'll crucify you tomorrow. He's talking about his people. Mm-hmm. And God said, well, have you considered my servant?
Mm-hmm.
And see, when God calls you his servant, that means he's validated you. He's put a seal on you that shows the world who you are and what your purpose is on this time side of life. We talked about that this morning. The image that we show the world out there. And that image must be in harmony with what's in the book. And when that image is in harmony with the book, you don't have to wear a cross around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to put it on your bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll be evident to the ones that you come in contact with. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him on the face of the earth. He's upright, and he fears God with his whole household. I don't know if it says household or with his whole soul. You might need to check that out. Because if he fears it with his whole household, then that means his household is in order.
Amen.
And Satan said to the Lord, I'll paraphrase it. You go back and read it. Yeah, he fears you, God. He ought to serve you. You done hedged him about. Cemented him about. Can't nothing get to him. But I tell you what, God, I'll show you how much he loves you. You go back and you read it. Take the hedge down. And how he'll curse you to your face. That's in your Bible, whether you know it or not. The Bible told Satan, you can do anything to him. But don't touch his wife. Don't touch his life.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says Satan went away from the presence of the Lord and began to spite Job. Boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His wife said, you're going to hold to your integrity about this God? Look at you, man. You know how we are when you ain't doing what's right? Look at you. Surely you done something wrong.
Right.
Seven friends come around and look at him. Didn't say a word. And then after a while, surely you done sinned against God. And then the closest one to him. You're going to hold to your integrity? You know what you ought to do? You just ought to curse him and die. You know how we are? Job said, but you sound like one of the foolish women of the world. Shall we not accept good from the Lord when he gives us good? And shall we not accept tragedies when tragedies come? The Bible says in all of this, Job did not sin against God. Although he slay me, yet will I trust him. Church, we living in some terrible times, but I guess there's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. It's just a different year and a different time frame. But see, daily living, daily living for the Lord requires something every single day. In order for us to make it through this time side of life, the child of God must constantly look into the perfect law of liberty. He must constantly examine himself, 2 Corinthians 13, number 5, and to make sure that his relationship to the Lord is what God requires of him. In Luke chapter 6 and round about verse number 46, Jesus says, "Why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you?" Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and round about verse number 21, Jesus would say some things that to the Pharisees and the Sadducees was hard for them to handle because they believe that they had the right stuff. They believed that they kept the law to the best of their ability, even though they added a whole lot of more law to the law. And they became so religious. How about us? Have we become so religious that we have become like the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Comfortable? Lackadaisy? They have become so religious that they thought they had it all together. And so when the Son of God comes on the scene, they didn't even recognize him because he did things contrary to what they had already thought was right. But I just want to encourage our hearts and remind us that as we go through this Christian walk, it requires us every single day to examine ourselves to make sure we're doing what God says. And in the process, God will reveal to you what he would have you to do. I want to use for a text I've been looking at time and time again, because as I get a little older, and I told my kids next year I'll be 65.
Amen.
If he says the same. Mm-hmm. If he says the same. But if he says the same, I want to be as stronger then as I am right now.
Amen.
You know, there's just no excuse not to serve the Lord.
Amen.
This ain't part of my lesson, but this ain't going to cost you nothing. Somewhere down the line, the child of God is either committed or he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said through John the Revelator, as he's on exile in the island of Patmos, as he writes to the church, the seven churches in Asia Minor, in Revelation chapter 3, he says, "I would that you were hot or cold. But since you're neither hot nor cold, but are lukewarm," and see, and this is where the child of God has to really ask himself a question. Does God depend on me, or do I depend on him? And if I depend on him, what do I depend on him for?
Excuse me.
I depend on him to save me when this life is over.
Amen.
So therefore, that means I got to live up to what I say I'm going to do, right?
Right.
And if that's the case, then that means when it's time to serve him, no question in my mind.
Amen.
The world doesn't dictate to me, but he does. I think Esther and I was talking about that a little bit this morning. A lot of folks are worried about a whole lot of stuff. What'd you tell me, Esther? She ain't worried about nothing. Why? How do you get to that point? I'm in the world, but the world doesn't dictate to me. And somewhere down the line, as God's people, we have to understand that the world we live in is designed to pull us from the Father. But the question is, when tragedy comes, when trials and tribulations come, who do you really depend on? You know, I don't want to call on God when things are bad. Oh, everybody do that. I want to call on him when I got grits in the pantry and a loaf of bread under both arms and everything is going good. That's the time I really want to call on him. So when things get difficult, when I holler, "Abba, Father," I already know he's there, ready to take care of everything else. See, that doesn't come overnight. That comes with some serious responsibility of who you are and your relationship to the Father.
Amen.
For a text, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 24 through 27. Once again, Paul writes these words to the church. And Paul oftentimes had to defend his apostleship. And the reason why he had to defend his apostleship, because Paul said, "I was born out of an undue season." Paul became an apostle not by the will of man, but by
God himself. Paul had an encounter with Jesus. Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. Paul was religious. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee, and he believed that what he was doing was so right. He didn't miss Sunday morning. He didn't miss Sunday night either. Sidebar. I happened to be flipping through the stations, and Steve Harvey was on there on talking about church. He says, you know, some of us when we grew up, and I know he's talking about the Baptist church, mm-hmm. We went to church all the time. Mm-hmm. Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, mm-hmm. Monday Bible class, Tuesday board meeting, Wednesday Bible class. Y'all didn't know that? Oh, and he got the wrong. He said he went to church so much he was willing to go to hell. I know he don't know what he's talking about. The point was, when it was time to serve God, there was no excuse. Amen. When it was time to assemble with the saints, there was no excuse. Amen. You're going to be there and be part of what's going on in the church. That was his point. But see, they started laughing just like y'all did. But they missed the whole point of what he was trying to say. Is have we gone so far from what God requires to all we do now? You know, churches of Christ even have it to where you can send your contribution in. What's that place called? What is it called?
PayPal.
See, somebody know what I'm talking about? You don't have to go to church. Just text your contribution in. Oh, yeah. That's in the church. We've gotten even a step further. Just look me up on the internet. And you know the internet's right, right? Have we moved ourselves so far away from what God says?
Yeah.
Because of the world in which we live in? Just look at the world we live in. James says you got to look into this and continue into this. And so this morning, I just want to give you a shot in the arm and encourage your heart. This year is drawing rapidly to a close, and I don't want you to get sidetracked from what God has really bestowed upon us. He wants us to remain steadfast and unmovable in our Christian walk, and he doesn't want us to get caught up in the cares of this world to where we neglect and forget what life is really all about. One day, he's going to call us from labor to the reward. And I don't know about you, when he calls me, I want to make sure that I've done what he commands me to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I told you Paul had to defend his apostleship. In verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, am I not an apostle? Because some folk had doubt that he was an apostle. And so Paul had to defend his apostleship among the apostles. That's pretty deep. Why? Because Paul, on the day of Pentecost, was not with them. That's right. Yeah, that's why it's so important that you know your Bible. Because Paul becomes a member of the body of Christ. He becomes an apostle when he encounters Jesus Christ. And so Paul here, as he defends himself before his brothers and sisters in the body, Paul says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Or not ye my work in the Lord? So he's defending his apostleship before his brothers and sisters simply because they don't understand nothing about Paul. Because see, Paul has a history. Amen. And even with his history, we talked about that this morning, that your reputation and what you say and what you do has to be in harmony with what you say you are. We talked about that rock star. Why was he ready to commit suicide? Because he was double-minded in everything that he was doing. But Paul here, as he defends his apostleship, most of them remember that he persecuted the church. Most of him remember that he laid down his garment at the feet of Stephen when they stoned him to death. Most of them remember that this Paul was the one that made havoc of the church and wanted to crucify everyone that said they believed that Jesus is the Son of God. So a lot of them still remember Paul. And so as he stands in defense of who he is, Paul says, don't I have the right? Don't I have a right to have a wife? Paul raises some questions here. And as you read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul starts talking about standing firm and what you believe in. And so when by the time you drop down to around about verse number 24 in that text, Paul reminds the believer that you must be steadfast in everything that you do. Look at what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and round about verse number 24. Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize. So run that you may obtain it. And every man that strive for mastery," I don't have time to go into all of this, but I used to run track and field, and I was last a lot of times. Amen, Walls. And you know why I was last? Because I didn't strive to be number one. I just wanted to make it through to get the grade. Come on, y'all, somebody here.
Amen.
But when you're striving to do something, it's a mindset. It's an attitude that comes with that. The mindset, the attitude, even though you might be last, you think you're first. And what do? You strive, you develop, you work on it to be number one. How many of y'all going to heaven?
Amen.
How many of you are really striving to get there?
Amen.
How many of you are really striving? Because when you're really striving to make heaven your home, it's got to be in harmony with your life,
Amen.
What you say, and what you do. We talked about that this morning. Paul here is saying that every man that strive for mastery is temperate. And I ain't the smartest in the world, but outside that front door there, there's a glass there. You know that thing that blocks that wind? And I was gonna put regular glass in there, but regular glass would crack. So what did I do?
Tempered.
Oh, somebody listening this morning. So I had to get something that was tempered to stand and withstand the elements. Paul is talking about those of us who run in this race. We must strive. And every man that strives is tempered in all things that they do.
Amen.
Some folks run for a crown that means nothing. But I'm running for a crown that means something. Look at what he says. He says, and every man that strives for mastery is tempered in some things. All things. Why? See, because if you're going to make heaven your home, you got to take a checkup from the neck up and make sure that everything you're doing and everything you're saying is what God says. That's why James says, if you look into this perfect law of liberty, you got to really look with the intent of looking at you. And then when you do that, when you leave here this morning, do you know who you are? Paul says here in this text, in verse number 24, "Know you not that they," 25, "and every man that strive for mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do this to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run." You want to make heaven your home? Why be in this thing and don't make it? Henry said it this morning. If you don't make heaven your home, whose fault is it?
Yours.
You can say you've been blessed beyond measure, but if you wind up in that other place in Gehenna, in Hades, what good is it? Paul says here that every man that strives for mastery is tempered. And then look how you temper yourself. Look at verse number 26. "So therefore I so run, not as uncertainty." You think I'm up here this morning because I think I'm going to heaven? Do you think I try to live the life that I'm living because I think I'm going to heaven? No, I'm living this life because I know I'm going. And you know how I know I'm going? Because of his blood, because of his grace and his mercy, that when I fall short, he stands before his Father and says, he belongs to me.
Amen.
Clean him up and makes me justify before him. Church, somewhere down the line, you got to have this mindset, because each and every one of us is going to leave here.
Amen.
Amen. When are you going? I don't know. But I know good and well you're going to leave here. 100 years from now, you ain't going to be here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And some of us ain't even got... Hush. Shh, shh. I didn't say that. But somewhere down the line, the believer gets this confidence, this reassurance that as I run this Christian race, I'm running with some certainty. I know that when I fall short,
I can repent and get on the right track. Amen. I know that when I don't do what he says, I make a change up here and I start doing what he said. And Paul here is saying in verse number 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. I'm not in this because I don't think I'm going to heaven. I'm in it because I know where I'm going. And so therefore my life is in harmony with what I say, with what I do. Does that mean I'm perfect? No. But you know one thing about it? I'm striving.
Right.
I'm striving every single day to be perfect. How? Like my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
When I mess up, I don't need you to tell me.
Right.
Oh yeah, I know when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't need you to tell me.
Amen.
Why? Because when I look into the perfect law of liberty, you know what it does? It pricks the heart. Oh yeah, you can do better than what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you drop in and drop out. Amen, walls.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you done did something. No, we treat God like we treat the world. That's sad. It ought not to be that way. And so Paul says, I therefore so run, not with uncertainty. So I fight with my brethren. Oh, that didn't say that. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul says, I'm fighting. But what am I fighting for? To make heaven my home? Why is it that I'm concerned about you when you fall short of the glory of God? You think I'm picking on you? That ain't none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are my business.
You're my brother.
You expect to have my business before you,
uh-huh.
But there's no reciprocation? Come on now.
Uh-huh.
If I'm your keeper and you're my keeper, when I see you falling short of the glory of God, it's my responsibility. To tell you, if you weren't here Wednesday night, you missed a good class.
Amen.
Because we were talking about elders and deacons. And it was one thing I forgot to mention. Do you not know the reason why the church is in a mess that it's in? There's no respect for the office that God has put in place.
Amen.
That's why the church is in a mess. Because there's no respect for the man that holds that office. But I understand if you ain't got respect for him, it's hard to have it for a man. Do you not know that these men are the guardians of your soul?
Mm-hmm.
And how should you treat them?
With respect.
With reverence. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the Bible says an elder is counted worthy of double honor. I'm going to leave that alone.
Amen.
I'm going to leave that alone. What is double honor? But you need to go and look at that. If the church is failing and not moving, it's because of the lack of the eldership. Look at the churches, right? And I know what you're saying. I already hear you. Well, there I know a lot of churches of Christ ain't got elders. And they got 500-600 people.
Mm-hmm.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
What's the biblical example of the church?
Elders.
I'm going to leave that alone. I don't know how I got there, but that don't cost you nothing. But I just thought I'd drop that in. Because God set this thing up a way that is designed to work. And when we respect the leadership that God puts in place, watch the church. Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah.
Yes.
But see, I can't say much to you because you get your mouth poked out and you won't come and you stop giving because you think you're really helping me. Hey, man, I might as well just tell it like it is. That's why I work.
Amen.
Every single day. So I am not chargeable to you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Where did we get to this? It's because we've left the perfect law of liberty. And when you leave out God, guess what? Anything goes. I don't know how I got there, but well, I do know how I got there. What are we fighting for? If we're fighting to make heaven our home, then that means there's responsibility that every one of us must share in. That's why when my class come and you ain't got a Bible, I tell them, get one.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, they pull out their phone, get you a Bible. Because
mm-hmm.
In between reading your Bible, you're on the internet. I ain't no fool. I might be old, but I ain't blind.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, that don't cost you nothing either. Verse number 27, the Bible says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. How do you bring your mind into subjection? The only thing that'll bring you into subjection is the Word of God. Without the Word of God, guess what? It's free flow.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Because the Word of God keeps you in
project. Yeah, y'all looking at me funny. Let me show you. Psalms division 119. Let me show you something. That when the word of God is really implanted in your heart where it's supposed to be, it makes a change in your life to where God is first and foremost and everything else falls by the wayside. Psalms division 119. Look at what the psalmist said in round about verse number 89. He says, he talks about the word of God. He says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What God has written down in the book, guess what? That's it. And so if it's settled in heaven, then what's the problem? The problem is that we just don't want what God has to offer. Psalms 119, look at around about verse number 97. Attitude, mindset, that I believe that if we had in 2016, I just wanted to say 17, yeah, we're getting there. If we had this mindset, half of the trials and tribulations we go through wouldn't even affect us. And then I raised a question around that. Now, let me go on. Psalms 119, verse number 97. The Bible says, oh, how I love the law. It is the meditations some of the day. When I feel like it. When I put that phone down and that iPad down, I can meditate upon the word. You think I'm talking about something I don't know about, huh? Look on this iPad. I got dominoes on here. I got a card game on here. Oh, I can talk about me. I don't know about you, but I can talk about me. And you know something, when I'm waiting on them to come out the doctor, boy, them dominoes sure look good. When I ought to be turning over there, searching the scriptures to make sure that everything that is said is right. I want you to know I'm not perfect, but I know what it takes to stay on the right track. And that's why the psalmist said, oh, how I love thy law, it is a meditation all of my days. Through thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, for thy are ever with me. I have more understanding than my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancient, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto thy taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. The psalmist realized and recognized that it's the word, that as I meditate upon it, it'll help me in the midst of the world in which I live in. When you talk about depression, that's the time to go to the book. When you talk about uncertainty, that's the time to turn to the book. And when you're having a good time and everything is going all right, that's the time to really turn to the book. Because God will help you to see that in the midst of everything that goes on, I stand there to help you. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 27 for the next few minutes. Then the message is yours. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.